everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hindu Muslim Hi Hi, presented by Gada Radio. Today we are going to talk about hate speech again. Last week we were giving you a little background of what hate speech means in India and what's happening, and also updates from Gadar and news from India. Today in Culture Kush, we are going to cover the movie Feels Good Man, and it was released in 2020. It's about an underground cartoonist, Matt Fury's animation, his character that he made, Pepe the Frog, that unwittingly becomes a symbol of hatred, racism, bigotry after an election. It also gets co-opted by the alt-right in the US, and well, the documentary tells you more about how that happens. It is directed by Arthur Jones, and it won the US Documentary Special Award for Emerging Filmmaker at Sundance last year. Yes, so, and also IndieWire says that it's an expansive forensic look at the life cycle of an idea, a warp speed analysis of internet sociology, and a harrowingly modern fable about innocence lost, which I think it summarizes it really nicely.
Yeah, I think it does.
And then we'll start with our questions and, you know, talk about the movie a little bit more.
Yeah, before I start, I just want to ask how your last month went.
You start.
So for me, last month was pretty much good and bad, both, in the sense that I had some new results in my research, and new results means you have to then go back to the drawing board and start looking at things again. It is exciting, but it's also very demanding. So that is one reason I was so overwhelmed with my day job, is because then it started spilling over to the time that I keep aside for podcast and everything. So So that was kind of overwhelming for me. But interesting too at the same time. So.
Yeah. I totally get it. Right now I'm on a new project, and it's something that I've never done before. So it's a sort of learning curve. I feel like a fish out of water. Like, I'm like, okay, survive. You know.
So you are in a kind of a bigger project or what?
Yeah, I think the project is bigger. It's for, it's episodic television, which I have not done before. I do feature films.
Okay.
So it's just a different format. And a lot is happening in this like one little show. So it's like different time periods, like 5 or 6 different time periods.
Right.
And all in one sort of 6-episode special.
So it's kind of fast. The pace
It's very fast. It's very fast compared to a feature.
I mean, sometimes it feels how different we are in terms of what we do as our job. And sometimes it feels we are talking different languages. When you're talking about movies, I try to put it in context of what I see on screen. Obviously, I don't know what goes on behind the screens. So when you're talking about the speed of the episode and how fast it goes, that I put in relation to what the documentary we are talking about in this episode. And I felt that the documentary was a bit slow, but I think that they could have made it more crisp. What do you think about that?
I think I have more patience for long drawn movies. So I enjoyed it. Just the pace of it. And they went into a lot of detail about,
right,
you know, different organizations that like co-opted the symbol, or like, you know, different people they introduced that used it at some point, or what it meant to them. I actually wanted to tell you, which I forgot about. Did you see how beautiful that animation was?
Right. So the story is about sketches and cartoons, right? And then there were these animations. So for a while, I got confused that was there also a cartoon movie based on that? Which I realized at the almost reaching at the end of the movie that it was made just for this documentary.
Yeah. So I think he obviously, Matt Fury, must have made them or given the permission to make them, even if he didn't. The idea was that sometimes you don't have an image for when the documentary interview is going on. They use that animation as the image on screen. Because if you keep looking at an interviewer, in a documentary. It can get boring. It's also a budgetary thing where like, oh, you know, I'll make some animation so I don't have to do actual like news footage or something that I'll have to pay for rights for.
I see.
Things like that. But it actually looks really good. Like, I think it was a good tool they used.
I also really liked how they included his whole family into there, especially his daughter.
She's really nice and cute. Yeah, it's really cute. Like, he, like, it's a family man and just got involved in this, got dragged into it, rather. I learned a lot from this documentary, from that website that they mentioned, 4chan, which is like kind of a Reddit, you know, like a forum. And then the fact that people have jobs to study memes, like a memeist. I don't know if that's how you say it. But what surprised you about this documentary?
I mean, I was also surprised by the fact that there are people who are studying this phenomena academically. And in a way, if you think, it is not as surprising also given the fact that how influential memes have become. If you think about it.
Right.
Everybody is looking and influenced by memes that we look at. And speaking of this powerful memes, what I felt bad is that somehow I felt that Matt Fury himself was thinking of himself as somehow responsible, to some extent at least, of how the character that he created morphed and got misused by the alt-right. So what do you think about this fact that as an artist, you don't really want to limit the flow of your creation also, to some extent?
Right. I mean, it again comes to like our topic, right? Freedom of expression.
Right.
And like hate speech. If it starts affecting people and it results in violence, and that's what we saw in this movie, I think he was very naive about it. He was not responsible, but I think he could have been more proactive. Ultimately, he had to care and he had to bring in lawyers. So I think if that could have been sooner, he could have avoided all this.
I don't know if it is coming from my head and my perception about intellectual property rights, and that I'm not in a huge favor of intellectual property rights. But if I try to think from that point of view, I would also be more interested in letting the idea flow freely, you know. It may not be out of naivety that I would do that. I would just think of it as something which should be available to other artists. The freedom.
Right. You know? I think he needs to set down some parameters. Because you know what happened in the movie. So like, you know what happened with his animation.
Right.
So I think he needed to put down something. Like, you can use it, but you can't use it for commercial purposes. Or you can't use it for violence, xenophobia, all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I know you are of that thing, like you are of that bucket of people that is like, oh, you know, you can't, like, freedom of speech, it should be absolute. But I'm not from that. I'm just like, nah, yaar, if like a KKK guy is like inciting violence, then no, he should be held responsible. You cannot have absolute freedom of speech.
I don't know. I disagree. Because it's going to come back and bite us in our asses of the people who are legitimately trying to speak against oppression, against violence. That is the problem.
So what is happening right now? Even with like freedom of speech, what is happening right now? There are political prisoners.
I'm not disagreeing with that freedom of speech is misused. But it is the same kind of problem that if somebody, for example, if you are given pure oxygen, you will die for too long. That doesn't mean that the oxygen itself is bad. You know, it's being misused in a certain way. So how do you go about placing some, an absolute necessity of oxygen is there. I don't really know how good this analogy is. Analogies are usually bad. But oxygen is absolutely necessary. You cannot remove oxygen. It's being misused. That doesn't mean that you should have limits on how much oxygen one can take. You know, for example. I think freedom of speech is like that. I don't know if that
makes sense. I don't think this makes sense, Miraz. But okay, this is like a separate podcast. Okay, I want to talk about the movie again.
Okay,
yes. There was an interesting line in the movie. Not only did the meme become the violence, but the violence becomes the meme.
Right.
Do you want to discuss this or you're like, nah?
No, it was, I was also very impressed by this sentence. Not impressed. It did put me into thinking about that. You know, so it is freedom of expression. It is fine. But once, if harm happens or if there is a potential of harm happening, then there has to be some consequence of that. I don't think that
So that's what I was saying. Then there has to be some consequence for your freedom of speech. You can't have freedom of speech just go run wild, no?
These are two different things, that there will be consequence if there is a potential danger of freedom of speech. So that is where it comes. There are no one solution to all problems. And that is what I think makes freedom of speech absolute. You can keep freedom of speech absolute while putting check on people making hate speeches. I think that. I don't really know. I'm not.
Okay, now I need a drag because this is like too heavy. What is this? Why?
Look, I'm not a jurist or a lawyer to really debate from the point of law. But there is something called law and there's something called morality. And these are two different things.
Right.
A very law-abiding society can become a very immoral society. Very easily. So laws don't always protect morality. And I think that hate speech has a huge element of morality into it, which can come from the society, from how the society thinks, what the society thinks. It just cannot be enforced by law. No, I should drink my tea.
Wait, what? No. Okay, I'm going to move on because otherwise we'll keep like debating and like disagreeing on this.
Okay, so again, we are discussing about this issue and we do find ourselves in positions like that where we are also faced with the dilemma of the kind of dilemma that we have right now that we are discussing.
Right.
Free speech versus hate speech. What do you think and you are also an artist, so what do you think if you were in the position in which Matt Fury was, could you stop this phenomena from happening? If you look at it in the larger perspective.
Now that I have seen the movie, it's very easy for me to comment. I think, but like, you know, because I'm not in this position.
Right.
But I think like if I release something, I would definitely consult a lawyer friend or like somebody being like, how do I protect this? Or... like, I want to keep it free, but I don't want to make it a sign of racism or bigotry or something. I was saying, I said this before. Like, it's up to the owner how they... So, he did go after some people and he did not go after the others. He went after Alex Jones. He went after other, like, famous people who co-opted the, you know, the symbol.
Right.
So, he went after particular people that he thought were... you know, like, were causing harm.
Right.
He didn't go after the, like, you know, person in his mom's, you know, basement making a meme. Like, that, I mean, unless that guy is a shooter or something, he didn't go after him.
Right.
You know? So, I think there is a way to do it where you own the rights of the art being produced, but you also have parameters and, you know, you have to... Beams cannot be controlled. Once it's out there, it's out.
Exactly.
I get it. Right? But there are ways to like discourage people from using it misusing it rather. Right?
So I mean,
if you're suing someone, right, you're already discouraging the next person who uses it badly.
But if you think of the timeline that it happened, the popular names came much later. Initially, it were a bunch of anonymous kids, people venting their frustration anonymously online and using the same thing. I think that is something much more powerful than any big name or a company or even politicians.
No, I agreed. I don't think you go after them. He also did not. I think that's what I would do. Like... Don't go after these people. Like the Hong Kong protest. That was such a beautiful story.
Right.
Pepe the Frog. you know, was used as a symbol for hope and democracy. So I don't think I would go after them. Right. I would just go after the Alex Joneses, who's like, oh, this is like bar change for me or whatever.
Oh.
You know, this, we are getting into too much about how what I would do. I don't think I'm making any art really soon, which is solely mine.
I am asking this question and putting you on kind of a spot is because if you look at Matt Fury's life, by the time he had made those, made Pepe the Frog and it started getting on, he was somebody who would not think of himself as being influential, right? If today I say something and I don't really think that I am influential, for example, and something goes and I'm like, whatever, no big deal, you know. But then eventually it becomes into this huge issue later on. Nobody can control it.
I also wanted to talk about this Trump angle, right? Like the, you know, these guys that were like in their mom's basement, like literally in their mom's basement, they showed us. And like, who would like use Pepe the Frog and you know, people on this 4chan website. And they were called NEETs, which is a new word for me, which means not in education, employment or training.
Right.
And they basically wanted to troll Trump into the White House. Right. And they also thought they did. Like, right. Which is hilarious. Like, they thought they felt empowered when Trump came into the White House.
Hmm.
So what do you think happened to them? And what do you think they actually achieved?
In the movie, there is a place where they say that the reason they wanted to get Trump elected was to show that how fucked up the system is. Initially, there was no real attachment to Trump, you know. But once his speech happened and people were like, yeah, this is one among us, you know. So initially the whole thing was about Trump. Nobody was really interested in Trump and people were more interested in getting Trump elected because they wanted to show that how fucked up the system is. And we have also talked about this issue in our last episode where we talked to Raj Srishti and Bedu and they were talking why people become what they become, why people become xenophobic, why they become racist. Because the system that they trusted in did not work for their benefit.
Has failed them time and again.
Right. And once that system fails you, then you just want everything to burn down, you know.
Right.
All you want is the system to show that how failed the system, how fucked up the system is. That phenomena plays around in all these cases is that system did not work. They feel deceived. They feel let down. I'm not saying that there is a rationalization to becoming xenophobic and racist. That is not right. What I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is there is a reason why that happens. And the whole Trump phenomena, I think the whole Modi phenomena is also like that.
Even like there was that Hillary stuff in the movie, and how like even the left sort of oversimplifies the usage of, you know, Pepe the Frog and
right.
You know, the news anchor Samantha Bee and all of those people that like they lump all of this together. And like the Samantha, like she didn't want to hear that actually the artist is good.
Right.
She was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the artist like doesn't intend it, okay, what do I do about it?
The problem
there's
is...
There's no like middle ground. Nobody sees the other side.
Right.
I mean, I don't either. Like it's just, it's hard to see, you know, eye to eye with someone I don't agree with.
Right.
But that doesn't leave us anywhere.
That is exactly the problem. The thing is, when we become so polarized that nobody wants to talk to each other across the table. It's just that either my way or the highway, and that happens on... Okay, I also don't like this on both side argument because that is not really the case. It's not on both sides.
I'm not saying on both sides. I'm on the left for a reason. But...
Right.
I just feel like we also simplify and do the same that they do in terms of like caricaturing the right or caricaturing the left or, you know, like people in the center, how they are, or like, you know, you have that perception. of a person who believes in a political or a religious ideology. I think we need a break now from this. So this was our 7th episode. We will have one more hate speech episode where we have our guest, and then one more conclusion episode to round off season 1. Yeah.
Thank you everyone for listening, and follow us on our social media handles, the_Ghadar, THE_GHADAR, and follow, share, and subscribe, like. We do share this on YouTube also, so hope you will like it and share it. Thank you.